This is Morning Edition from NHPR. It is Friday morning, and that means it's time for another episode of Ask Sam.
Why do geese make V's?
Does a bumblebee sneeze?
Can a person eat trees?
Can a polar bear freeze?
Is a kidney stone kind of like a pearl in a clam?
Well, I don't know. Ask Sam.
NHPR's outside-in host, Sam Evans-Brown, is here to answer a listener question about the natural world here in the Granite State. Hey, Sam.
So this week we have a question that we just can't seem to get away from.
Hey, Sam. This is Grant from Lee, New Hampshire. Last year we saw a huge spike in the squirrel population. I was wondering if we can expect any ripple effects from that this year. Thanks.
It always comes back to squirrels with us, Sam.
Starting to feel a bit like Bill Murray here, Groundhog Day.
It is.
The seasons change, the years go by, but we're still talking about squirrels.
It's our unofficial sixth season now. It's squirrel season in New Hampshire.
Okay, so to review, mast is a word that is shorthand for nuts and fruits and things that grow naturally out in the forest, and mm-hmm. mast years are the years in which there are a lot of these nuts produced in one year, and mast years are good news for squirrels, but also good news for a lot of other creatures.
Turkeys, deer, raccoons, bears, chipmunks, flying squirrels, various kinds of creatures love to eat those acorns and will focus on them when they're in abundance.
So that's Richard Ostfeld. He's with the Cary Institute for Ecosystem Studies over in New York State.
Okay, so it's cyclical, right?
Yeah, cyclical. And so if the year after a mast year is good for the things that eat acorns, who are the species that you would assume would benefit the year after once all the mast has gone away?
Who benefits from that? Anybody who likes roadkill?
Right, so the predators. Anything that eats squirrels, right?
So yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, it goes up the food chain, right?
Right.
Okay.
But there are a couple of fundamental reasons why you're not likely to notice a big boom of bobcats out in the woods.
What determines that largely is how specialized that predator is on that prey. So if the predator eats a bunch of things, then it's going to be relatively insensitive to fluctuations in any one prey species. And most of our predators in the Northeast are not highly specialized, but some of them are a little more so than others.
Is he saying that our critters around here are not going to worry about their palate too much? They're going to take what's available.
Yeah, think of a coyote.
Sure.
Coyotes will eat whatever. They'll eat your house cat.
They're opportunists.
That is a scientific term, Ricky.
opportunists?
Yeah, opportunistic species. Yeah. But there are two species he suggested you would possibly see a measurable increase in their population, which are weasels and owls, which are pretty specialized on small woodland creatures. But we have really bad data on their populations. They're pretty secretive. They're hard to observe. So
they tend to answer the phone when poll people call them.
And so you're...
Pollsters call. They just said ignore them.
And so you probably are not going to notice that there's this boom in weasels out in the woods this year. But also, more fundamentally, every time you move up a step in the food chain, up in the sort of food pyramid, effects are smaller because of basic physics. When a squirrel eats an acorn, about 90% of the energy from that acorn goes to making the squirrel do squirrel stuff, and only 10% of it or so moves up when the squirrel is eaten by a bobcat. So most of that energy gets burned before the squirrel is ever eaten by a predator.
Okay, so there's not a lot of benefit
right.
to the, up the food chain then.
But there are effects if you go the other way, and this is where I've got some bad news for you. And it's not thanks to squirrels, it's thanks to another acorn hoarder, the white-footed mouse.
The summer following a good acorn year, the white-footed mice reach a population peak, and that can be a couple hundred individuals per acre, whereas after a lousy acorn year, there might be only a handful, half a dozen or so, or fewer individuals per acre.
So I think it's fairly common knowledge at this point, Rick, that the white-footed mouse is a major vector for Lyme disease.
That's what all the kids are saying.
So that means that if last year there were a ton of white-footed mice, just like there were a ton of squirrels, this year we can expect there to be a lot of black-legged ticks. And in fact, this relationship is so powerful that Rich has a model that he uses to predict incidence of Lyme disease. And one of the inputs to that model is how long it's been since a mast year.
So we have statistical evidence that acorn production is a leading indicator of our risk of exposure to tick-borne disease almost 2 years in advance.
It's the tick-apocalypse? There's going to be a lot of ticks.
Pull those socks up over your pant legs, Rick. Going to be a lot of ticks.
I think we've done all we can do here, Sam Evans Brown.
That's all I got. I'm going to go lay down.
And HPR's Sam Evans Brown answers your questions. And if you have a question for Sam that you'd like him to answer on the air, Sam, how can they get in touch with you?
The number is 1-844-GO-OTTER. Or you can do as this listener did, record yourself on your smartphone and email that file to outsidein@nhpr.org.
It is Morning Edition from NHPR.